Greetings, Scotch Potatoes, across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Elizabeth Rapp, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Yes, you are. We're very excited about this. There was a lot of discussion going on off the air about getting into this segment. We have Elizabeth back. She's been, this is what, like your
Billionth time.
Yeah. You've been on the show 100 billion times.
It's weird because there's not that many movies in the world, but.
Well, that's what you think. Haven't been on your Netflix queue lately. Let's go through the paperwork real quick before we talk to Elizabeth and remind everyone where you can get in hold of her. But you can get a hold of us at fatguysatthemovies.com, or you can go to iTunes and search Fat Guys at the Movies, and we pop right up. You can also check out our other podcasts on Fat Guys at the Movies and iTunes. We got Oh Snap, which is starting up sometime next week, which is the new podcast with me and Meryl Barr, replacing the idiot boxers. We'll be talking less TV and more shenanigans. You can go to facebook.com/FGATM, or you can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. You can also leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. So far, we've only had a couple hangups. I'm assuming those are creditors. Or people wanting us to like lower our mortgage or something like that. And you can reach me at twitter.com/KevinCarr with two R's. And may I reintroduce you all to Elizabeth Rapp, back on the show for the umpteenth million billionth time.
Yes, and you can find me at film.com or on Twitter at /ElizabethRapp, R-A-P-P-E.
And with an S.
And with an S. Although I do get ones, you know, if you spell it with a Z, I will sometimes get them. Twitter will let me see them. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there a Elizabeth Rapp with a Z?
No, I'm the only one. So, oh, okay. I don't know. Sometimes, either that or I'm just really good at spotting it, like, on the main feed. I don't know. I was picking them up. Maybe Twitter changed it, and I can't anymore. So
you're there trolling the feeds.
You should, like, do it. You should do it. Somebody mention me, for the love of God.
Somebody talk about me. And don't mention me. Anyways, it's always good to have Elizabeth back because she's a great guest. We always have a long show, and actually, you're one of our more popular guests.
Oh,
I didn't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, we get 24 people listening to the show instead of just 20. How's it going for you, Elizabeth?
It's going pretty good. I don't know. I've been spending a lot of time at IKEA, so like I feel like that's been my summer. Like, not at the movies, like normal
trolling
people.
Trolling for dates.
Yeah, I've just been assembling bookshelves and stuff.
You just randomly start pulling stuff out of boxes at IKEA, and you're like, you know what? You need to have a credenza over here.
You need to have an Ektorp.
Somebody hand me an Allen wrench.
Yeah, I'm really good at assembling these flat pack furniture items. I really am. I think it's my years of reading comic books. I can read their foreign directions. It's like I can understand the pictures perfectly well, and other people can. It's really, I'm like, that's where the screw goes.
I think the IKEA instructions would be so much better if they had like POW and ZAP.
It would in color, but like their little man that like represents you is like really funny to me. So. Their strange European, like, unisex person.
The strange European version of humanity.
Yeah, it is. Like, what we will become by the year 2030 or something.
What we'll evolve into, this sort of this gelatinous mass, something out of WALL-E or something.
Yeah.
Like so what do you end up writing? What are you writing on film.com now?
Just all kinds of features, yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like this month, which is funny because we'll have to bring it up later, but this month I seem to be writing about Clint Eastwood everywhere, so.
He's not in the news, is he?
No, not at all. Well, I'm writing some essays for a book on Eastwood, and then there's going to be, like, I'm sure a feature or two on film.com penned by me.
We do have Clint Eastwood and Barack Obama both in the studio. in the magical studio in the sky. Of course, the chairs, you can clearly see the chairs. Yeah. You can clearly see either Clint Eastwood or
I don't have an extra chair in my room, so neither one of them sitting here.
Aww. Now I feel bad for you.
Well,
I've got
an Oscar
winner and
bed.
An American president in the room here with me.
Nice.
And you've got nothing.
Yeah, I have a bed. I guess you can send one of them over. All that sounded terrible.
Okay. Well, take your pick. What, are you going to flip a coin? Give me the younger, hipper dude or the old guy.
I'll take the old guy. not going to go there. Aww.
I hope Clint Eastwood isn't listening to this. Actually, I hope he might be. I take full responsibility. Anyway.
He's like, I love that podcast.
He's like, I like that thing. It's really funny.
Bad guys in the movies. Never thought of that.
It makes my day.
Anyway, you're probably going to have to pay, like, because you use that quote.
Who's going to find out? Seriously,
Clint
like Warner
gonna
Brothers.
Find out. He's like, that owes me royalties.
I'm going to get an email from Warner Brothers. It's like, I'm sorry for
cease
that podcast. That...
Got to edit that line out or...
or pay us a percentage of your profits. I'll be like, I'll write you a check.
0.01, like the Zero. Dude.
Anyway, speaking of profits, which aren't going to happen, let's talk about the first movie. That is In the Cold Light of Day. In this movie, a Wall Street trader takes to the streets in Spain to fight back against the people who kidnapped his family.
Ooh.
Please, you gotta help me. Something's happened to my family.
Take me to the boat.
Will, can I call you Will?
How do you know my name?
Your mother told me.
Hey, let me go!
What the hell is going on here?
I owe you an explanation. You know I work for the government. You're a business consultant, right? It's not the job I do at the embassy.
You're CIA.
How could you not tell me this?
Why Spain?
Are you? Well, he's just in Spain. No. It's in Spain. It's probably cheaper. It's probably filmed in the Czech Republic or something like that.
You hear watch you go, that's Spain. Not Spain. That's so obviously Prague.
Yeah, I don't.
All those
I
Catholic countries are the same. That's what Hollywood says.
It's made for like the stupid Americans who are like, that looks vaguely European.
Yeah, these people look foreign.
That must be Paris or Milan or Reykjavik. I don't know. Be somewhere. Are you even aware of this movie?
I'm not. We were just talking about that. Like, what movie is this?
Henry Cavill plays in it, and it's supposed to be.
Did you say Vaclav Havel? Not or no. Because he's dead.
I don't know. I know how it's spelled. I don't know how it's pronounced. don't treat me like a professional here at all. Just ignore me right now. How do you say
it? Because I said, what, you mean Vaclav Havel, who's the president of the Czech Republic. That's what you said. I was like, he's in it? He's
what,
dead.
Are you seriously like bringing that up? I mean, you've just completely decimated any sort of knowledge I have on anything. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I had to write a lot of papers on him. That's why.
I didn't even know. I don't know. No, Henry Cavill.
Henry Cavill. That's how you say it.
Cavill. Thank you.
That's why I said Paul Claw.
Super. See, you're just proving how stupid I am.
Well, no, you know why I know that? My sister loves Henry Cavill. Like, she's known him from, like, way back, like, his first, like, little movie. So, she's really mad that he's Superman. She's like, everybody will know who he is.
Oh my gosh, that's like Neil Miller's mom with Gerard Butler.
Now she's the only Gerard Butler fan.
Yeah, it's. I don't know if she still is. I'll have to.
You should
ask
her because
I'll get in touch. I'll email Neil at some point.
Gerard Butler's listening.
The world needs to know. You know, we got to go to a break though. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Cold Night of Day. Welcome back to Fat Guys of the Movies. We were talking about the movie In the Cold Light of Day. What's interesting about this film is I emailed my local publicity rep for this, who handles this, like the account for this film, and I'm like, is this movie opening in Cleveland or Columbus or Cincinnati? Because I do radio in all three markets. And she writes back and she's like, no, there aren't any screenings. And I'm like, I didn't ask for screenings. Is it even opening? That's what I'm asking. Is it opening? Because I couldn't find listings in like movie tickets or Fandango or Flixster or anything. She's like, well, I think it is, but you know, we haven't gotten any information on that. I'm like, it's Tuesday. And it comes on a Friday. How could you not have it? I mean, it's releasing. There's an ad for it on movietickets.com. But there's no there's no listing for it. So this one was one. This has been bumped around a lot. I don't have much hope for it. It's not. It's like at a 4% right now.
Oh. But that could be because nobody's seen it, so it could be awesome.
Well, enough people have seen it to make that 4%.
Exactly. So
anyway.
Oh, so like you're saying, it could be 100% if they like.
No. Oh. I'm sure that there's probably like something like 21 people who've seen it and one liked it.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't do math so well.
That's okay. You know who the president of the Czech Republic is.
Yeah, so math is more useful.
You can't figure out a tip by quoting me.
I just always give everybody like president. $15.
$15. Thank you for my $3 espresso. Yeah. Here's $15 tip.
Oh, I never tip for that.
Anyways, I'm giving In the Cold Light Today has to get a preemptive suck because they didn't screen it for us. I don't know if they screened it for anybody. Let's move on to the next one, which is The Words, in which Popsicle Eyes. Popsicle Eyes plays a writer who must face the fact that he stole another writer's work.
I have a story. A very good story. You want to hear it? There he is. Dumb kid wondering what the future held. He wanted to be a writer, but the words just wouldn't come.
The nature of the publishing business right now, I don't know how to publish a book like this.
I'm not who I thought I was, and I'm terrified that I never will be.
First, I know you haven't had a chance to see it, but what are your thoughts on Popsicle Eyes?
I'm anxious for him to finally do some dramatic stuff. Because I think he's got potential, and I don't know about this one. I think people are going to be like, oh, this is his first dramatic role, he's really bad, and he's really bad, but,
So you don't, like, you wouldn't count, like, Limitless as a dramatic
role? Well, I would, but he kind of still had that sort of, people still thought he played it as a douchebag, so... I'm not. I thought he did fine in Limitless. I mean, I thought there was an arc there that worked, but you know.
Is it more because it's like a genre, sort of a speculative fiction piece?
Yeah, and I think people kind of are like, well, he just runs around a lot in that movie.
Runs around and shows his flashy eyes and all.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, he flashes his eyes at the screen. We were all hypnotized. So. Mm.
Yeah, I did see The Words.
Okay. Does he embarrass himself? Is it like the worst movie ever?
No, I mean, the problem with The Words is not his. I mean, it's not him. He's not the problem with the movie. The problem with the movie is it's about a writer played by Dennis Quaid who's telling us, who's reading out of his book to an audience, and in the book is about a writer played by Bradley Cooper who steals another writer's work, and then through the writing of the work, we have flashbacks to what caused them to write the book. So you have a writer reading about a writer who's reading about a writer.
Well, that's dumb.
In real
life. I hate to say it.
And so,
like,
you have to sit there and think.
Based on the trailer alone, I mean, they don't even, like, Dennis Quaid has one scene where he's like, you have to decide between truth and fiction. It's like,
there's
what's he doing in this movie?
Well, but what's even funnier about it is you figure that there's a writer who wrote about a writer who wrote about a writer who wrote about a writer.
Yeah.
And what am I going to do when I, later this week, I am going to write a review written by a guy who wrote about a writer who wrote about a writer. The level of meta on writing is ridiculous in this. My biggest problem with this movie, I hate movies about writers. And the reason I hate movies about writers is because it over glamorizes writing. You and I both write it.
Yeah.
There's nothing glamorous in
No,
what
you
do.
Wear like your pajamas, you don't wash your face because you're running out of a deadline. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got dirty cups all over. It's nasty.
Yeah, and it's not, there's none of this, oh, the artistic suffering.
Yeah.
The honorable nature and beauty and gorgeous and artistic work. That is not what writing is.
No.
And it reminds me of I said this about The Odd Life of Timothy Green a couple weeks ago, where I'm like, it's this glorification of parenting, but it's written by somebody who doesn't know what it's like to be a parent.
Yeah.
It's just sort of this.
It's written by the guy that really wants to be a writer, and so he took all the writing classes, and he wears elbow patches on his jacket.
Well, you've done anybody who's been a writer, yeah. who's done who has a talent for it, has at some point attended a writing group.
Yeah,
and we all have, for
we all have.
You know, for camaraderie or, social networking even. And there's always that one person, at least one person in the writing, who is so into what it's means to be a writer. They want to be Ernest Hemingway, sitting there, agonizing over their art. And that's not being a writer.
No. Which is funny, because that's kind of the vibe that Bradley Cooper, Popsicle Eyes, as we should call him, kind of gives me. Is that he'd be like that guy in my English class that I really hated, but then also loved. I was oh, he's a jerk. He's all into the anguish of writing, and he has he has to be the one to talk in class. And then I'd be like, God, I hope he notices me. But then I would turn him down if he did.
Yeah. Well, it's he'd be the kind of person that would preface what he says that goes, as a writer.
Yeah.
If anyone starts a sentence, as a writer.
Yeah.
You're not a writer.
No.
I'm sorry, you just aren't. Nobody starts a sentence, as a plumber.
Yeah.
I have found that this washer is not quite right. You know.
I mean, I think the only time you can say that is if you're a doctor or a lawyer, because if you can start offering medical advice without saying I'm a doctor, people are going to think you're a nut.
Yeah. Or maybe you will. I could offer medical advice.
Yeah.
And in fact, I would not be culpable for it because I do not hold a medical degree. I could be like, yes, you should stick that fork in your face. And not in your mouth, just anywhere on the face,
just the fleshy bits.
No. But the words, the problem with the words is that it gets so wrapped up in this glory of writing, and it's really not that. There's maybe 25 minutes of story here, and it just stretched, and it has layer upon layer, and it thinks it's so clever, and it's not. It's not clever at all. It's not. It is cliche and silly and stupid. I did not like this movie. There's a lot of shots of Bradley Cooper and Zoe Saldana just laying down.
Well, the trailer had a lot of that, so that makes sense.
It's all in, and you're just like, okay, I get it. They're sharing a bed.
Yeah.
And he's there and she's there, okay. And,
so
oh,
this
look,
would fuel my go to IKEA and buy a bed frame with Bradley Cooper fantasies and then lay on the bed frame.
Well, why buy it? Just go to IKEA and lay down on the display model and be like, oh, Popsicle Eyes, I love you.
Yeah, but I don't want to go there alone and think
Oh, wait, because buying the bed and taking it home.
No, that's my fantasy is going to IKEA as a couple.
Buying together. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean. If there's a lot of shots of him in pajamas or sleeping on a nice comforter, that'll probably fuel that really well, right?
I'm sure that your Popsicle Eyes obsession will be helped with this movie, maybe.
Maybe not spend the money on it.
I don't know. It might be a rental. It might be wait till Netflix, stream it, and then you can stream it in your own bedroom and just pretend that and then fantasize about going to IKEA with Popsicle Eyes.
Yeah, and I'm not one of those girls that fantasize about champagne and roses and be like, yeah, let's go buy an Ektorp.
Not with that, but kick that skinny avatar girl out of there.
Yeah,
kick her out.
Get her out of there. That's actually what kind of has cooled some of my enthusiasm for Popsicle Eyes. He's dating his co-star.
Is he dating her?
I don't know. They were dating for a while. That's what people said he was gay. It was because he was dating Zoe Saldana.
What is she? Is she gay bait or something?
I don't know.
Zoe Saldana, the hottest woman in Hollywood, totally must be gay.
Yeah.
The words gets a suck. We're going to leave you with the trailer for Toys in the Attic. We'll talk about it on the other end of the break. And in Toys in the Attic, a bunch of beat up abandoned toys band together to rescue one of their own from an evil toy that kidnaps her.
It's time. You know who I am.
Proceed with Operation Buttercup.
Get out of my house!
Welcome, little pet. Now, a swashbuckling swordsman.
Make hot and large!
And his tireless Teddy must rise to the challenge.
Onward and downward! Ah!
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We should have been rolling during that last discussion because we were complaining about the fact that neither of us are big. You know, you and I agree on several things. You and I think that The Dark Knight Rises was overrated. Paul Dano is not that good of an actor.
Watch the hate mail pour in.
Well, you didn't like Anne Hathaway all that much in The Dark Knight, right? You don't like Anne Hathaway. I think she's okay, but I think she's overrated.
Yeah, if she's really blows me away in Les Miserables, I'll eat my hat because, you know. And I said I did that for
Can
The Dark Knight
I buy
Rises.
You a hat? Can I buy you a hat that you'd
that
have
I would
to eat?
Yeah. Like, can the hat be made of, like, I don't know.
You want it to be a Carmen Miranda hat with,
yeah,
with like, bananas and
that
no,
would make
no,
it
no.
easier.
I'm going to get a hat. I'm going to make it out. I'm going to get the Lady Gaga beef hat or the steak hat. And
well, it had to be fake steak, but
no,
yeah.
No, it would be real steak. I'd make you eat real steak.
No.
And then you'd like throw up.
Yeah, that exactly.
And I'd be like, ha ha ha. You and your
and somewhere
stomach.
Anne Hathaway like is making that into a movie right now. She's like, I'm going to option that and make it into a movie.
I think that's exactly how she talks.
Exactly. That's why I don't like Anne Hathaway. So I'm
like
kind
Betty
of expecting
Boop.
Her to be in Les Miserables going, I'm a prostitute. And then dying. Spoiler alert.
thank you. In case you haven't seen Les Miserables.
In case you think that, you know, sickly prostitute is a happy end.
Well, you know, you can't go wrong with the sickly prostitutes. I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
I mean, if she gets, she'll totally have the Oscar, and then she'll do a Renee Zellweger. I'll bet anything.
And what's that? Suck a lemon and make a fancy face?
No, like just go into lame romantic comedy land. And
She lives in lame romantic comedy land. What are you talking about?
She'll go back there.
That's like she'd be like, oh, Jennifer Aniston.
She'll buy property.
When Jennifer
there.
Aniston wins the Oscar, she's going to go make some crappy romantic comedy. What's she been doing since Friends? It's nothing but crappy romantic comedy.
Yeah, but everyone, and I think people kind of backed off that a little bit, but it was like, well, she was really awesome in The Good Girl, and if she would just get, like, really good scripts, she'd be awesome again. It's like, you kind of have to give somebody the benefit of they do read the scripts and choose their material. You know.
Well, you know, I said that about Gillian Anderson,
because
when The X-Files was huge, I remember reading an article from her, and she's like, well, there's just people you think that you get a bunch of scripts, but, you know, they're really not very good ones. I'm like, I've seen you do movies like Hellcab.
Yeah.
You know, you're not picking good movies.
Yeah, because like you don't have to do them. And I mean, she like Anderson was great in like The House of Mirth, and apparently that's what she always wanted to do was like BBC dramas, which she's doing now. And so, like, I guess
well,
props
that
to her.
And Johnny English,
yeah, and Johnny English. But yeah, I mean, I kind of when you see people, yeah, and there are actresses that manage to do like good work year after year. It's like it kind of puts holes in the. There's only romantic comedy scripts, yeah. You know. So
well, yeah, I mean, you got Meryl Streep has throughout her entire acting career. She's rarely done the traditional female role.
I mean, Susan Sarandon's, you know, pretty much almost always done. I mean, she's done a few little genre things here and there.
Susan Sarandon can suck my balls.
Cate Blanchett, I mean, other than when she did Indiana Jones, but that was so obviously, and that's always a problem with, like, really prestigious actors, is that, like, when they decide to go, oh, I want to do, like, a fun movie, they end up picking, like, the worst one. And I know you liked
Indiana Jones.
But most
of she was just so over the top. She was so ridiculous.
She was horrible. She was, like, just, yeah.
She was the Russian version of the evil Nazi guy with the wireframe glasses.
Oh, totally. Well, actually, I believe there were probably Nazis with wireframe glasses.
I'm sure there were, but I mean, he was just so diabolical.
She was like the cartoon Russian, though.
He didn't have like a, he could have had a little mustache that he twirled. I mean, that's pretty much what the character was, and that's what her Russian general or
whatever. It bugs me because it's, well, I, you know, having studied a lot of like Russian history and stuff, it was like, what the hell was that uniform? Why was she carrying swords?
Wait a minute. First of all, you cannot have any pragmatic discussion about Indiana Jones and the I've studied Russian history.
Yeah, well, but the Nazis no were just rooted history. In history. Like they were actually going for like arcane artifacts. The Russians didn't do that. And if you were going to do it, then they'd wear at least a modern uniform and not something from like 19... I remember I researched the uniform like for the heck of it, and it's from
you
like
You did
19...
way more work than the people who made that movie.
That's why I think, yeah, I should have been... Yeah, I don't know.
The Indiana Jones 4 was... I mean, the point is that the fact that you... It's not meant to be at all anywhere remotely
okay, but why
accurate.
Would, well, okay, uniform aside, why would you carry swords when you're like, you're Russia? You have like AK-47s. Like, I'll just carry a box of swords around.
Because she's a badass. That's
no. Why. Badasses carry guns in the 20th century. Big guns. No, like, I'll fence. Like, there's a really good chance I'll die, but... I'll fence with this kid named Shia LaBeouf.
There wasn't a damn bit of good a gun was going to do to her. Didn't she get eaten by ants in that movie or something?
No, she gets eaten by the alien at the end.
Does she get... I thought she got... Oh, no, her friend, her like, henchman got eaten
yeah,
by ants.
Yeah, a lot of people got eaten by things at that movie. But anyway...
But no, you're right. You're right. Every yeah, yeah. year there are... roles that other that actors and I think they're good actresses and I think they're good actors. I will say that there's probably there's more starring meatier roles for men, which I find funny because even in scripts that are written by women and directed by women, I mean look at like what is it
Zero Dark 30? Is that it?
Dark Zero 30 or Dark
yeah.
whatever.
I wrote it Zero a bunch Dark of times 30. Last week and I still don't remember it.
I literally saw a poster for it tonight.
Yeah.
And I couldn't because I'm picturing the poster and it's all blacked out because that's sort of the poster. It's all blacked out. But I mean that's and you know it's Catherine Bigelow and you know she did the Hurt Locker. She won an Oscar for it. But that, there's not a single woman in that movie. I mean
Jessica Chastain's in it. Yeah, but
fuck Jessica Chastain. I can't stand her. I'm getting to the point that I'm like at the end of my rope with Jessica Chastain because you know what she is? She is a young white Viola Davis. She plays the same stoic role.
I'm not even like, I'm like sitting here like.
You're like, oh, he's got his foot in his mouth right now. It's up to his kneecaps. I can't stand Viola Davis. It's not that I can't stand her. I just don't find, I've not seen her stretch. Yeah. She plays the exact same character in every movie I've ever seen her in. You know, in Doubt, in The Help, in... you know, extremely loud and incredibly close. It's that sort of that very somber, stoic.
Yeah. And I mean, I'd argue that that's, I mean, I will, I guess in Viola Davis's defense, I would say that that's sort of the equivalent of like the magical black wise yeah, character sort of
the,
for men is like
the magic
stoic,
Negro. The,
yeah. Really like, you know, life's really worn them down. Black woman, the strong black yeah. woman kind of. You know,
I just wanted to play a crack whore, play some wacky person or something.
And it's
like
yeah, it'd be really nice to see them do like her do some comedy or something. I don't know
yeah.
because I know that there are some issues. Like, well, you know, she can do comedy, and it's like, well, so I'll give Viola Davis that, but I won't give a lot of actresses any.
Well, like Meryl Streep, I'm not a big fan of Meryl Streep, but she's done comedy, she's done drama, she's done good
yeah.
guy, she's done bad guy. She has a range, even though I'm not a fan of Meryl Streep. The woman has range, and she can do a bunch of different things, and she does, she can do the sort of the quote unquote caricature roles like
mm-hmm.
Margaret Thatcher or Julia Child, you know. So she's done all these different roles. Viola Davis again, boom, boom, boom. You know, give whatever movie she's in. She plays the exact same role. You know, I mean, she has the exact same mannerisms half the time.
Yeah.
You know.
So.
And that's the way I feel about Jessica Chastain. I mean, Jessica Chastain, again, plays kind of the same role again and again, sort of this harder-edged somebody with this dark, steely past that they got to deal with. And she's very... Yes, she showed her tits in Lawless. Thank you. I liked seeing her movies.
I haven't seen Lawless yet. Well, she's actually somebody that I recently did an article, and I, you know, praise because she has made cool choices.
It's okay, you can praise her. You can love
no,
her.
No, I mean,
awesome. Yeah.
I'm, you know, I'm neither here nor there about her at the moment. It's like, but she's made interesting choices as an, you know, actress, and they're sort of like that post-Oscar, you know, a nomination buzz thing where she could have just like totally started phoning it in and picking like really cheesy romantic comedy scripts. And I have to hand it to her that she didn't do that. So.
Well, but see, that's the thing is none of that's not her. I will say when she was in The Help, she did play a different character in The Help.
Yeah,
The Help was
pretty
off type. Yeah, so the Help was off type, but I mean everything else. I mean, and she came out of nowhere, and I hated Tree of Life, and I thought she was a giant roaring cliche in that, and it was again that sort of that glorification of the mother figure, but then you know she was in Coriolanus, and she was in The Help. Yeah, she was in that. No, but she was in The Debt. She was in Take Shelter. They were all kind of the same character, and it's the exact same character she plays in Lawless. You know, so I'd like to see her do more stuff like The Help. I'd like to see her do a romantic comedy, because as much as you can diss romantic comedies, not everybody can do them.
It's true. I mean, there you do have to have like a lighter touch. Like, I mean, I think like Amy Adams is probably one that is probably the closest to like Meryl Streep in the sense of she's. You know, done a while. She can do funny and she can do serious and she can do, you know, in
I'd
between.
I'd like to see her do a bad guy, though. I'd like to
see
her do a bad guy.
That'd be cool. Well, the master might be. I mean, that there's a lot of reviews that seem to point as her, like, the brains behind the cult.
Yeah.
So that'll be kind of cool. You know.
Is there any other actors you want to praise that I can just shoot down?
I don't know. Well, yeah, you already...
Don't get me started on Marianne Cotillard.
Go ahead.
Ah, can't stand her.
I already shot down the Anne Hathaway one, so, you know.
Yeah, you ripped it down at Hathaway. I can't stand Marianne Cotillard. I find her so overrated.
I do think it's funny...
stupid mole in her face. Makes you want to punch it.
What about her equivalent, I guess, as far as like the, you know, there was sort of like a French Renaissance. What do you think of the guy from The Artist?
The guy who's never going to work again?
Yeah, that guy.
He's in another movie.
Yeah, what happened to him? It was like he was going to be in every movie. That was what, and then he's here like six, you know, almost a year later.
Well, here's the thing with
like him, so.
Well, I mean, he's charming, but he's French. And I mean, that's not a bad, that sounds funny, but my point is that if you're going to be in Hollywood, you either have to play that type or you have to learn to, if you're going to be a Hollywood star, you got to learn to speak English. You got to do it without an accent or with a very little accent.
Yeah.
Like Javier Bardem. Javier Bardem is able to do stuff because he doesn't have a very thick accent. I mean,
I thought you were going to start knocking him. Like,
like him. No, I think he's cool. We'll talk about him later. But, I mean, yeah, Gerard Desjardins or whatever his name is.
Jean Desjardins, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. French name of some sort.
Desjardins. The J is silent. But...
The Desjardins is silent, but no. To me, The Artist was like The King's Speech. I mean, yeah. these are movies that are good movies, but they're not by far.
Yeah,
long and
I would
far,
totally agree.
Not
yeah.
the best of the year, and they were just sort of like it's like all these old.
I mean, even I liked The Artist, but it was like that. Yeah, the frenzy. It was like oh, okay. Yeah,
it was a charming movie, but
I mean I like the OSS 117, and to me that's all The Artist was. I wouldn't have given Lost in Rio like Best Picture. That's pretty much what they did.
Well, I mean, it's like all these people. It's just suddenly. It's sort of like Harvey Weinstein has this magical power to get up and he gets in front of all these critics. And he gets in front of the Academy and he's like, this is the best movie. Yes, it is. You must understand. And then people are just like, just whipping the
so
things.
So Harvey Weinstein is
the,
a Jedi, is what you're saying.
He is. He does the Jedi mind trick.
And you haven't seen The Tree of Life.
Well, he gets the Academy and everyone just jizzing all over it. And then people go, what won the Academy Award 2 years ago? Oh, yeah, that one about the king.
Yeah. I'm probably the only one that's watched The King's Speech since the Oscars in the entire world.
did you go see the PG-13 rated version?
No, I have it on DVD, and when my mom was sick, we're both big Anglophiles, and she was like, I want to watch The King's Speech. So, yeah, I've actually seen it more than once.
Yeah. It's a good again, it's a good movie. It's a good movie. It's not best of the year. Yeah.
I would agree with that. So. There were other movies I liked more.
I think it's going to be interesting this year because they've got The Master coming up. In terms of Harvey, you mean Harvey Weinstein coming out and basically just declaring this the best movie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But The Master's coming out, but it's coming out earlier, so he can't like kind of pull the artist of, oh, it's the greatest movie of the world, you just haven't seen it yet. But they've also got Django Unchained. Django Unchained, which doesn't need Harvey Weinstein stumping for it to make news, because it's Quentin Tarantino and Leonardo, and it's got a cast and it's a big Christmas release. So,
yeah, I don't see them doing that, because it's like, it's hard enough for the Academy to give it to a Western. They're never going to give it to like a spoofy spaghetti Western.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they gave it to Clint Eastwood for Unforgiven.
Yeah, but that was because it was...
That was a career.
Yeah, though. And I mean, it was a career one, and it's such a, like, a classy, like, old-school deconstruction. The Italian ones, and I mean, that's obviously what Tarantino's going to be playing, like, massive homage to. Those never got awards, and they're never going to get no homage is going to get an award.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be really surprised. I mean, I guess if Weinstein sold it as, it's in love with movies, maybe.
No,
but I don't see it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a film. I mean, because if Inglourious Bastards didn't get it, and to me, that was way more of a... almost like if Tarantino could make a prestige pick, it was that one. So, yeah, I don't see Django do it.
I just hope Django isn't so dialogue heavy, needlessly dialogue heavy.
So you don't want like a 30-minute scene of...
Oh my God, talking, going on and on about custard cream on your thing. And I understand it's the suspense of it.
I almost said Schmagegi, and I was like... No,
what?
That was,
are you talking about?
You said cream on custard on your, and I was thinking it was pastry, but it was very like phallic pastry, and I almost said schmagegi.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a slang term I heard Brian Williams say for his joke.
Wait, Brian Williams, the newscaster?
Yes.
Did he say it during a news? Did he sit there and be like, and
no,
with the
was
bombing
on
in Syria,
and he was
it
talking,
made my shenanigans suck right into my body?
He was on Letterman, and he was talking about the TSA checks and how even being Brian Williams, they grabbed him and they felt up his schmagegi and
I don't
let
think,
him go.
I think it was some horny TSA agent who's like, it's Brian fucking Williams.
Yeah, it's about, if I'm going to touch one schmagegi, it's going to
be like, he's
Brian
circumcised.
And then right after that was Popsicle Eyes, and that TSA agent was like,
yes! Oh, he wasn't circumcised.
Dang it, I swore I'd only do it once, and then now I can't.
Feels like a snake with his head cut off. Oh. Anyways. The last movie, let's talk a little bit about the last movie, which is Toys in the Attic. This is it's a smaller film. It's getting a very small release. Got a chance to see a screener of it.
It sounds scary.
It is. I described it. I saw it and I described it on Twitter. I said it's kind of like if a nihilistic rock band made a music video where they're trying to tell the Toy Story story.
So you're saying like
and
if like a
like
Scandinavian death metal band.
Well, no, like a Czech Republic, because it's Czech.
Okay.
And so it has that. It's here's the thing. It's not mainstream at all, but it's a very interesting film. But it has that sort of it's stop motion, and that's one of the things I love about it. And it has some very unique things they do with stop motion. It's the story of these toys that one of their toys gets kidnapped, and it's this mixture of toys of stop motion and live action. But they it has that very dark European feel to it.
Yeah.
Is the best way I could describe it. It's a little bit like, it's sort of like a very happy version of a Nine Inch Nails video.
So is it kind of like, would the closest comparison besides Toy Story be that A Town Called Panic?
You know, I've not seen that. That was recommended to me a while back. I should. It's actually my Netflix queue.
Yeah, it's odd.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Well, the best, the sort of the imagery I can describe would be something like Nine, only like the original short that Nine was based on. Not what they kind of, the movie got very Americanized, but the short is very... And I used to watch these things. I used to get these DVDs way back when DVDs were first relatively new. where they'd have these short films on them, and it's like a collection of shorts, and you get these weird stop motion, very almost industrial, or like it's like needles and thread and
yeah,
bobbins and that sort of stuff, as opposed to that sort of slick look of a CGI.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's weird. It's out there, but it's cool. I don't think it's going to connect with the mainstream audience, but if you like sort of that off-kilter, you know, heavily dark European creepiness wrapped up in a sort of a childlike show, that's good for it.
Yeah.
So
can you take your kids, or are they going to be like, ah?
It might be a little bit weird, and it might be intense for a kid because it's creepy. It's not as much the subject matter as it is the environment and the presentation of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I thought it was neat. My 4-year-old came in the room when I was watching, and he was kind of fascinated with it. So, you know, I mean, if your kid's easily freaked out by dark and creepy settings and weird shit that goes on sometimes.
Like, what... how would it compare to, like, Coraline or some... Because that's probably... I thought that one was kind of freaky and...
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was a pretty mainstream one, but I thought that was fairly dark stuff for kids.
Yeah. Like, you know what's funny is... well, first of all, the Toys in the Attic, it's a rock. Rocks. It's more... Coraline has a slight European feel. This one's very European. But it is dark. It is creepier. Although it's not as, like, monstrous. I mean, Coraline, because it had the other mother...
Yeah.
It was so... That's actually kind of terrifying.
It is. I mean, I was surprised. Because, like, you know, I read the synopsis and, you know, people were like, oh my God, you have to see that movie. And then I, you know, kind of went in cold and was like, ah, Jesus. You know?
Yeah. It's a little bit scary.
Yeah.
It's more... It's maybe not at all like, but, I mean, sort of in the same realm as, like, Paranorman, which is... not overtly scary, but it uses a lot of imagery that would be possibly considered scary. What's interesting is Nick Harum from movieshateyou2.com, he was telling me he got an email from somebody who's trying to start a petition to get Paranorman rated R.
Wow. I haven't seen it, but I know that I saw a lot of kids covering their eyes during the trailer. So
It has some creepy stuff to it. But
it doesn't
funny
seem
about,
like an R. I mean, I don't...
It's PG. Yeah. So it's like the person's like, no, we're going to skip the PG-13 and go straight to R because it's... and he wrote back, and Nick, who's not known for his decorum, he kind of wrote a fuck you email to this person. Kind of like, I think it actually says fuck you very much in it. And it basically called the person a complete nut job. Because the person's like, oh, well, you know, it has these demonic elements and these... evil things, and it talks shows the kid watching movies about sex and violence, and which is a throwaway joke in there. But it also has a joke about has a homosexuality joke, and not really a homo. It's like a payoff type thing, and so they're of course these were bigoted homophobes who were writing this letter, and what's funny is that the person like replied to Nick. He was reading these to me the other day, and the person replied to Nick, was like, you're such a faggot. I'm like, whoa, like, way to escalate this thing. Jeez.
Well, that's what, you know, gay themes in a movie will do, is like they just, you know.
Totally makes everybody
gay. It makes everybody gay and start using gay words.
That's right.
Obviously.
So it needs to be rated R because of
needs to be rated R. Otherwise, you'll just start spouting the F word all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, and it will start suddenly be wearing pink rainbows.
Yeah. Not just rainbow rainbows.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense if it's a pink rainbow. It's just a stripe.
Well, you know, that's not... There are people that... I was in a geography class once, and there was a girl, and, you know, college is
you
always...
You were?
That.
I mean, I didn't realize that. Just
well, no, the pink rainbow thing. Like, there was a girl that... you know how colleges always wear, like, somebody declares their thing, and they just, you know, really embody that thing. And her thing was pink. Mm. And she wore pink... all the time.
Was she pretty? I mean, was she cute?
I kind of remember her being cute. I mean, she was... I sat behind her, so I don't really remember. So she wore a pink backpack, and she wore pretty much pink clothes. And then at one point, and this is how low college has kind of stooped, like intro to geography, that this is your assignment. We had to color a map at one point.
Really?
Yeah.
Was this, wait, was it lower than 101?
I mean, it, no, it was 101, but yeah.
Geography.
I think she finally gave, the teacher gave up because... and that's what we had to start doing. And some of us had actually had a brain that were like, oh, we thought we'd be learning about, you know, actual geography. So kind of like, we're like, really? I paid for this? Because we had a kid, like, the first, like, 2 days, it was like, yeah, so where is Russia? And
oh my god, it's like the largest city.
Yeah, and the map was right in front of him, which is even sadder. Like,
it's not like he's like, where's Kaplakistan? I don't know.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so at one point we were coloring a map. And I don't know why I happened to look at hers.
Can
but
I
she...
wait? I'm fascinated by this. What were you coloring? Did you use markers or did you actually use crayons?
I used markers because I was an adult.
I
we had to take it home and do it. That was the thing. Like, you couldn't do it there. We took it home and colored it and brought it back.
With finger paint.
Yeah. And then we had to turn it in and get graded on it.
this is like, oh, no, sorry.
This is what's happened to America.
France is not red.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember I colored Russia red, but...
Well, that's smart, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's right there next to China.
And with the, yeah, the one girl... That's well, it crazy. Only was a Europe map.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because it's way too complicated.
Yeah, otherwise the globe, you know. But I happened to look down at the pink girl, and she'd colored her entire European... Union in various shades of pink. Like, what? She had, like, darker pinks and lighter pinks and pinks in the middle.
Germany's an angry pink.
Yeah. And I was fascinated. I was like, that girl went to a lot of work finding various shades of pink. I mean, so there could be a pink rainbow. Like, that girl is probably drawing a pink rainbow now as we speak.
It's the symbol for the European Union. Here's my question. There's like... I don't know off the top of my head. How many countries are in the European Union? Like,
a lot. A
couple dozen? I mean...
couple, yeah. Because, I mean, you have to remember all those countries in the Netherlands, like Luxembourg and... Yeah,
all these little ones. You got, you know, I mean, how many...
Well, now, so I remember we had to label them. It was a blank map, and we had to label, like, Luxembourg and, yeah. And it seems like I got something wrong because she read my arrow wrong. So I was like, what? I seriously, like, the easiest assignment ever, and I didn't get 100%. No, I think I did.
Oh, my God. But... how embarrassing.
Yeah.
You're like, I used markers because I'm an adult. Was the where now, did she have crayons?
The girl?
The 50 Shades of Pink?
No, she used markers. I think she had to use highlighters, like, for some of it, because that's the only thing that comes in some of those shades of pink. So,
say, how many shades of pink are there?
She sounds found like them all, man. I was fascinated. And the kid that didn't know where Russia was like her friend.
Where did he think Russia was?
I don't know. And some of it was like, was he trying to be funny? But oh man, yeah.
Did he like color in the ocean? That's totally Russia.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I think he did. But yeah, he raised his hand. He's like, so where is Russia? And she was like, and the teacher just looked at him and. He was like, wow. Yeah. And she's like, well, this landmass here. And he was like, oh. I was behind him once and he was trying to order cocoa at the coffee house. And that was an interesting experience. So.
Was it in Russian?
Yeah. No, he was just, he didn't know what kind of cocoa he wanted. And he didn't know how cocoa was made. And, yeah.
Well, I don't even know. I don't know how cocoa's made either. And I just asked, I said, can
well,
I
the
have
guy
cocoa?
Was like, because he was like, would you do it with milk? And the guy was like, that's how cocoa's made. Like, so yeah,
semen.
I don't know.
I have cocoa. I need something creamy.
It was. He's my other favorite example of how bad like college, you know, had gotten, or at least my college had gotten. The other one was like the accidental anti-Semite. That was what I call the story.
The accidental anti-Semite. That's yeah. Awesome. I have to hear this one.
Well,
oh, pray
okay.
Tell.
Yeah, oh, pray tell. With your chin in your hand.
Like, oh. Well, yeah, I'm sorry.
It was our final history like practicum. And you had to do, it was basically like a free-for-all, but basically what we had to do was really learn, like, hardcore research methods, and we had to do a lot of presentations with the idea that someday we were going to be teaching.
With colored maps.
Yeah, not yet. And it, ironically, it was the same semester I was doing the colored map, so I was like, you know, it was really nice, but like, color the map, and then have
to
like, do
map,
this
go
hardcore,
to hardcore research.
Like, presentation on, like, analyzing, you know, I remember I had to do one, I did a presentation on, like, something to do with Stalinist Russia, and it was like,
I don't think this was a real course. I think these were tests done by, like, the NSA.
They could have been. They could have been.
To see how you react with such disparate class work.
And so there was a kid, and I called him American Psycho because...
Well, that's nice.
He had, well, not to his face.
What's up, American Psycho? Stab in the face.
He always wore, like, really nice business clothes. And he was always drinking lots of caffeine. And he would constantly, our class was like a good 2 hours. And
people on the weekends or something?
Yeah, it was like a 1 day a week class. And he would constantly go out to the bathroom. We would get, like, breaks in between presentations. And he would go out to the bathroom, and he'd come back going, and it been, like, rubbing his nose really violently. So I called him American Psycho.
Or Robert Downey Jr.
And so he got up one day, and he goes, and we had to do one of our presentations, was pick a historical topic that's very controversial, and there's lots of pros and cons on it. So,
oh,
like,
he didn't choose the Holocaust, did he?
And he almost is good, though. Ironically,
well, some people think
up.
This thing happened. And, well,
so, like,
you know.
Yeah, mine was actually, like, did Stalin poison Lenin? Because there was, like, there's lots of evidence on both sides. That was, like, my presentation.
That makes sense.
And
I mean,
so, yeah, he goes up there, and he goes, mine's a very controversial topic. A lot of you are going to be offended. And, yeah, I think all of us are going, oh, God, Holocaust? You know, and he goes, it's whether Jesus existed. And we're like, oh, fair enough. Okay. You know, it's a history class. It's like, yeah, there's good pros and cons on both sides. And he's like, well, first of all, there's no historical record of Jesus whatsoever. And I raised my hand. I'm like, actually, there's like three Roman accounts. I mean, they themselves are questionable because we don't know if Jesus was inserted later. It's kind of like 20, 30 years, you know, where I'm like, listing out the reasons you could also argue that it wasn't legitimate. And he looks at me really blankly. He goes, oh, well, I didn't read any of those. And I'm like, and you just watch the professor going, uh-huh. And he's like, anyway.
Jesus has a Facebook page. So
yes. Well, this was before Facebook. So, yeah, this is still when Harvard kids were using Facebook.
Wait, is this Jesus H. Christ we're talking about? Or is this somebody else?
I don't know. That's a historical topic for its own, you know.
That would have been the historic. What is Jesus' middle name? Howard Morris? What is it? I don't know.
I don't know either. I would, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, H names that are Hebrew, but...
Jesus, Hebrew, Christ.
Yeah. But he goes, everybody knows the story of Jesus, and then there's this kid in the front row, and he goes, except you, because you're Jewish. And he's like, and the kid goes...
Wait. He points to somebody in the front row, or is
he goes, except
him?
You, and the kid goes, why me? And he goes, because you're Jewish. And
the
there's
guy,
this
well, first
pause,
of all,
and the kid goes, I'm not Jewish. Why would you think I was? And we all looked at him and we went, oh, shit. And it was because, like, if you were going to be, like, a Nazi in 1930 Germany, if you were going to draw, like, a caricature of a Jewish person, that's kind of what this kid looked like.
So he had curly black hair.
He had curly black hair, and he had sort of a prominent profile. Like, he had kind
what
of...
Was something funny?
He looked like Tom Cruise, kind of. So, like, if you were going to go... I mean, the kid actually...
Well, that's not bad. I mean, if you're going to look... I mean, that's better than, like, saying you look like Jeff Ross or something.
Yeah, he really did not look over... I mean, I would not have looked at him and said, gee, that kid's Jewish.
You
wouldn't
have stood in the room and pointed at him and yelled, Jew, and, like, threw a gold star on him and everything. You wouldn't have done that.
I wouldn't. I was sort of... And you could just see the kid kind of go white because he was, like, he realized what he had done. Like, he picked the kid... That, you know, if you were going to draw a cartoon of a Jew, like, maybe that would be how you drew it.
It's like the kid's name wasn't, like, Goldman or... I mean, it wasn't like that.
We didn't even know last names. I think his name... And he had, like, sort of a bland name, like David. So, like, the kid, like, really left from point to Z, you know... And he was just, like, sort of going, and the kid's like, why did you think I was Jewish? And the kid's like, we're all like,
was he,
I
like,
know.
Eating a bagel with lox? Did he have the Hasidic Jew curl? Was he wearing the stole? Did he have a yarmulke on or anything?
No, nothing.
Well, you've got
I
a yarmulke.
I don't know. I think the kid had once gotten, and this is why I kind of Because and that's all the kid had to kind of say. American Psycho was he'd gotten his
this guy's earning his name at this point.
Yeah, that too. And
you know what would have been great is if he was like a black guy missing an eye, like with a glass eye, and be like, "Dude, Sammy Davis Jr. What the hell?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you, a racist?"
Well, then the best part of it was this other kid girl raises her hand and goes, "Hey, maybe you want to tell me the story of Jesus? I'm a Jew," and she's like blonde and not at all. Like, and you could just see him kind of like go look
you
from the other guy
Jewish.
To the yeah. He was like, "You can't be Jewish. You look German. You know?
You don't look like at all like Barbara Streisand."
Yeah, and yeah, you just why it was really funny because the professor like intentionally just handed him a shovel. It was like, "Dig your own grave."
He's like, "Just keep going. This is great."
So that was, I don't remember, he fumbled through his presentation after that. Like, "Only the Bible says Jesus existed, and no one believes the Bible." And I don't know, and yeah, it was just, he really had wanted to be controversial, but he was controversial for, like, the completely wrong reason.
My controversial topic is going to be the Jews are taking over the world.
Yeah, and you can see, look at the girl, like, oh, God, they, like, intermarried, and now they don't look Jewish anymore. Like, that was, you could tell, like, from his expression, he was like, oh, God.
Those damn Aryans, they just didn't follow what they're supposed to.
It was like, I mean, all of us, yeah, it was so painful. And I know there's some kind of horrible commentary on, like, why we immediately knew what the kid was saying, but I would also argue it's because we were all history students and we'd all taken Nazi Germany, so...
Well, that's funny that everybody knew, too. That's, like, oh, but that makes you just as bad.
Somebody's going to write in and say that, and it's like... And yeah, I don't. I remember at the
you
time,
know what's
like,
funny
kind
is
of going, why? And then thinking, is it because the kid has kind of a big nose? Like, is that. And dark hair? I mean, is that why he's jumping to the conclusion? And.
Well, you know, my dad, you know, my dad is. He's got. Well, it's not black now, it's gray. But
yeah.
When he was younger, he had curly black, real curly black hair.
Yeah.
And he had a relatively big nose. And he's not. Born and raised Catholic. I mean,
yeah.
All the way from Ireland, but that's what he looked like. And actually, my mom's father originally didn't want her to marry him because he thought she was Jewish.
Yeah, that might. I have lots of those in my family, and it's kind of funny. It actually happened to me a couple of times because I because of being red haired and kind of sharp cheekbones.
You don't look Jewish at all.
And having like, I guess I have a slightly. I mean, I lost weight, so like my, you know, I have a, I guess a. More prominent profile. I look very Eastern European, and people just randomly assign shit to me, like, "Oh, you're Irish Catholic," and I'd be like, "No, I'm Swedish, you know, Protestant," and they'd be like, "Oh, you're Jewish," and I'd be like, "No, why would you think that?" And they're like, "Well, you look very Russian," and it's like,
you know what I get? I just get you fat. That's basically what I do. My fat just overtakes any sort of ethnic stereotype.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of nice I fit so many to so many people because, like, when I get, like, harassed by various religions, I can go, "Oh, no, I'm Jewish." And they're like, oh. And then you look at them and they're like, "Oh, I see it." And you're like, "Yeah, you're just looking
God.
At my nose.
I see it."
And you're, like, deducing it, you know. Well,
Do you ever watch Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Did you ever see the episode with, I think her name was like Mary Chang? And it was a woman who was like, either she was married to a guy named Chang or like she was adopted by a guy named Chang, but she was white. She was just a regular Caucasian. And she went by the name Mary Chang. And it was either Jerry or Elaine who were really bothered by that and wanted her to change her name because she wasn't, in fact, Chinese. She was.
Yeah, well, that actually, you know, happened in a way to us. Well, because I worked at a hair salon, and so I had that happen to me once. Like, I made an appointment for, like, a Mary Fukushima, and it was like, oh, that's cool. She, you know, she'll be Japanese. And she came in, and she was, like, white as white can be. And she brought her kids, and I was like, okay, she's married to a Japanese guy. And her kids were not half Japanese. So it was really weird.
Either somewhere somebody's name got, or she was a big slut banging a white guy on the side.
Yeah, I don't know. It was really odd. And she became kind of legendary among the shop. It was like, Mary Fukushima, right? Is she married to a Japanese guy? And everybody like, I don't think so. It was like, but the name. I was like, I know.
What'd you, I would just love to change my name.
Yeah.
Just feel like, you know.
Well, my names were always a great thing because, like, you could really, you know, you really picture a lot of things from, like, somebody's name. And there was this person that came in. I shouldn't say her name because, like, she'll call in the podcast and be like, you bitch.
No, she won't. I'm pretty sure
but
she doesn't.
She had this incredibly beautiful name. Her and her sister were named after Greek goddesses. Well, that's all I have to say about that.
And my God, that's a lot to live up to.
Yeah, and then they had incredible French names, and then she was marrying a guy with the name Le Bon. So they were going to... And so I'm, like, picturing, like, I mean, somebody gorgeous. And they came in, it was like,
hideous trolls.
Oh, mine. And then there
like
was,
that
like...
that super rich Australian woman who says that all poor people are lazy alcoholics.
Yeah, that's what she looked like. Yeah, that's what they looked like, too. Wow. Both of them. And they were marrying really hot guys, which was really odd.
Well, that's because they're wealthy Australians.
Yeah. And then I had to work her wedding party.
Yeah.
And, She was getting an updo, and she was horrible. She was a bridezilla. And I made this appointment for, like, a Brenda Smith that was going to come in and get her updo. And you're like, Brenda Smith, you know, you just picture, like, the most boring person that you would never remember. And she was in the wedding. She was a bridesmaid. She comes in. She looked like the living embodiment of Pocahontas, the cartoon. She's beautiful, beautiful. And she was like,
Like the real Pocahontas or like the hot, sexy
the
Vanessa
hot,
Williams
The hot, sexy
Pocahontas.
Disney Vanessa Williams princess type of. I don't know what she was like ethnically. She was just like if she was Hawaiian, what she was. She was beautiful. Wow. Copper skin, long dark hair. And she'd arrived late and she was like the nicest person ever. And she was like, just braid my hair and put like some flowers in it. And I mean, she looked amazing. And it was like, wow, I would not have that lady in my wedding party if I looked like Dumbly.
Isn't the point of you're not supposed to get your hot friends to be in the wedding?
Yeah, and it was like amazing. Her name was like Brenda Smith, you know. And it was like she came in. And it was like, oh my God, she could play Pocahontas at Disneyland. Like she's so beautiful, and she's so nice, and she tipped us all. Like, you know, yeah. And then Bridezilla was like a, you know, ugly stepsister. Like,
did she walk around with a limp and?
Pretty much. I remember she made me give her wine to calm her down.
What?
She was losing her shit so bad.
Did you have wine at this place?
Yeah, we had wine at this place. It was posh.
I was about to say, what the hell kind of salon? It's a salon / wet bar.
Yeah. Well, and then actually I had a funny story about the wine. Because I didn't, my first week, I didn't, you know, it was like we made this big deal about the wine. And this guy wanted some and I didn't, I was, you know, 16, so I'd never... you know, served wine before, and I didn't see a bottle
like,
in
nice
there.
Choice of words there, Elizabeth. I've never served wine before.
Well, I tasted it, but, you know.
I tasted a lot of it. The first bottle tasted great. Don't remember
well,
much
so
the second bottle.
I go in the fridge, and I was like, God, I don't see any wine in here, and then I see this pitcher of what looks like white wine. And I opened it, and I smelled it. I'm like, yep, that's wine. And I poured a glass, and I took it to him, and he loved it. And he actually, before he, after he paid his first
shampoo,
haircut, no, he went back and got his
line.
Glass, and he polished it off, and he's like, delicious. And it afterwards, everyone was like, oh, Beth, I forgot to tell you we were out of wine. And I was like, what do you mean? It's in that pitcher in the fridge. Somebody broke the, like, must have, like, busted the bottle or broke the top off the bottle or something. And they
and
were
somebody
like,
goes, no, he, so-and-so's diabetic, and they had that as a urine sample.
No, it turned sweet. Out it was apple juice that had been there in there, like, for 2 years.
Oh, my God. No wonder it tasted great. Did he, like, he's completely fermented. And
it was. It was totally fermented. And it, what really made the stylist laugh was the guy was, like, some really noted wine connoisseur. Like, he spent, like, hundreds of dollars on bottles. And he thought that was, like, the best wine he'd ever had.
It's, like, it's delicious. It tastes just like apple juice. You almost don't even taste the alcohol.
Yeah, and everyone's like, oh, God, it had flakes of mold on the top. How did you not know? And I'm like, I didn't know. I thought
hopefully
that was, like,
a
wine skin.
Was he allergic to penicillin? Then he has a seizure out front. Like, what did him in? Apple juice.
Fermented apple juice.
Fermented
apple juice. I mean, technically, it's apple cider. It was nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing. I like how you said that. Well, it's apple cider. It's nothing wrong with it. Just a little bit of mold and creatures of some sort.
Well, even wine gets mold on it. Like, you know, they just scoop it out.
That's words to live by. Even wine gets mold on it.
I really thought it was grape skin. I mean, I didn't know.
Oh, that's nasty.
It was tiny pieces of mold. I know it was mold.
Teeny tiny pieces of poop. They were not big poop. They were just little teeny tiny pieces of poop. It's okay.
I've had a lot of disastrous jobs.
You were fired from this place, weren't you?
No, actually, I was not. They liked me a lot.
They made you the wine steward. Yeah. Yeah.
We stopped doing wine after that, though.
Because you gave somebody food poisoning, probably.
Well, and I think some of the other stylists, the night stylists, broke all the glasses. So.
Nah, were they Greek? Or they must have been Jewish.
Oh,
right. Did they have big noses and long curly hair? Or like
yeah, American Psycho was like, I won't go to that salon. There's too many Jews working in
it. Too many Jews including that
one at the desk.
There. Can't have that.
We're going to have to cut all this anti-Semitism out.
We're going to get complaints by somebody. Yeah. let's talk about the box office.
Okay.
Last week, The Possession one actually did pretty well. Did better than they expected. Almost 18 million, which is pretty good. It wasn't a bad movie. It's not great, but it was for what it was. Possession wasn't bad. And then Lawless came in second with 10 million, just a hair over 10 million. Then if you go way down to number 26th in the box office, you have The Oogie Loves in The Big Little Adventure.
I don't know what this Oogie Loves is.
Well, you know what it is? It's
what this Oogie Loves is.
Well, the guy who did Thomas the Tank Engine and the Teletubbies found this new property, and instead of premiering it on television and developing it into a series and getting kids hooked like crack cocaine or anything like that,
He just went ahead and gave them the hard-hitting heroin.
Straight for the movie, yeah. They tried to just mainline it right into the vein. And it failed.
But they didn't tap the needle. And
they didn't wash the needle. It made in 2,160 theaters, it made only $443,000. $443,901, which is a per theater average, per screen average of $2.06 for the entire weekend, which works out to be 30 people per theater saw this movie.
That's still a lot.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's like 60,000 people across the country, but in a country of 300 million people. I mean, to put it in perspective. With all the, you know, to put it in a political perspective, when everyone talks the 1%, that's like 1/10. it's like a half of a tenth of a percent. It is ridiculously small. There are more billionaires in the country than people who saw The Oogie Loves. So that puts that in perspective for you. It also broke the record for the lowest per screen attendance ever, which for that wide of a release.
But then now it's like on its way to becoming a hit because everybody's talking about Oogie Loves.
Well, that's the thing. I'm wondering when the hipsters are going to watch it and like it.
I think
ironically.
They're now doing that.
They're all going. Well, I actually considered taking my son to see this because it opened on Wednesday, and my son's 4, so he would have been kind of like, if anyone was going to like this movie, it would have been him. And I actually said that on Twitter. I'm like, well, I kind of wish I had to kind of be in that club. But then I remembered I saw Delgo in 2008. I took my kids, and I remember that it made like, I think, $237 per theater over the weekend. And I said, actually, our like $20 significantly impacted that. The theater's tape.
They should have sent you like gold trimmed thank you cards.
I know. I should have
gotten
something.
With like a gift, you know, like a gift card to. So that would have cut into their gross, except they could have written it off, but like a gift card to Applebee's or something.
Or a gift card to White Castle for a burger. So anyways, yeah, the Oogie Loves, it was so far down. And when the number first came out, it actually made less than they thought. But originally the number was a 207, which I said, that's an interesting bookend. Because the summer started out with the Avengers making $207 million its first weekend. And the Oogie Loves ending the summer with 207 per theater. And just 207. No million behind that.
Everyone keeps making fun of me because my two favorite movies of the summer were The Avengers and Magic Mike.
I'm with you on the Avengers.
You're not with me on Magic Mike.
Not Magic Mike. Part of it is I hate Coney Horn.
I didn't like her either. If you get a review copy of that movie, can I have it? Or will your wife take it?
I don't think I'm getting it. I did not request that.
Oh.
I requested The Dark Knight Rises. Oh. And like Chernobyl Diaries.
Boo.
Sorry.
You should think about me.
I should have totally thought of this months ago when I requested it. All right, what do you think is going to win this weekend? Cold Light of Day or The Words? I mean, The Toys in the Attic is like a 15 theater.
I don't know. Unless the marketing really steps up for The Words, I mean, that might win based on, you know, this is the guy from The Hangover, but yeah. I don't know. It's probably going to be like The Possession repeating or...
Well, The Possession, I think, could win with a $10 million tank.
Yeah.
Easy.
I don't think The Words is going to trump.
No. I don't think enough people care about that.
Enough people care about Popsicle Eyes, but, you know, they just haven't had enough TV spots.
Yeah, there you go. So let's move on to the Fat Guy 5.
Okay.
Just to finish this off, because, you know, gosh, this has been, as always with you, Elizabeth, this is a long
story. We're going to edit and cut out all the American Psycho stuff.
No, that's gold. That's brilliant. This is the most bizarre. We have covered so many bizarre topics in this segment. I think it's awesome. Anyways, these are real quick, because there's nothing really to talk about, but it's already in theaters this week.
I know.
The five movies we're still looking forward to. In 2012.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about this one. You have the first one.
I do? Oh, God. Where's my list?
Les Mis.
Is it? Oh, there it is. It is. Did you do Les Mis? Okay.
Les Mis, yeah.
Les Mis are up.
Ta-da!
I'm really psyched for this one.
I mean, Are you excited for the musical part of it? Is that?
Yeah, well, both of it, because I've actually never gotten to see Les Miserables on stage. Mm. It's every time it comes here, I either can't afford to go, or it's played for such a limited run that I didn't get to go. Like, it's come for, like, 4 days or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've had the soundtrack, and I've always wanted to see it, and so that's really cool. And I think it's amazing that I remember when they announced it, and I was like, well, there's only one guy that can play Jean Valjean, and I hope they get Hugh Jackman. And I didn't think they would, because that's been the trend of just hiring, like, non-singers and training them up. And the fact that they actually hired Hugh Jackman, like, the day after, like, you know, oh, by the way, guess who's the lead? And
they didn't go, like, Richard Gere as Jean Valjean.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really surprised they didn't do that. And I'm amazed when I read comments, people are like, Hugh Jackman can't sing, and it's like,
he can.
Where have you ever been? I mean, yeah, the guy's a really good singer, so.
Yeah.
And I've wanted him to do a musical for a really long time, like a movie musical, and this should be really cool. Maybe this will finally mean he does Carousel, because I wanted him to remake Carousel, and he was supposed to remake it, so I don't know.
Okay.
So, yeah. Anyway.
You had me until you hit Carousel, and I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah. I fell asleep during that one.
Not a big Carousel fan.
You're not a musical fan?
I'm not a big Carousel fan. I wasn't a big fan of Carousel.
I wasn't actually a big fan either. It's like my mom's favorite, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I like Oklahoma because it's got thigh slapping and cowboys.
Oklahoma's good. Singing in the Rain's good. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff. I mean, Carousel feels a little bit more like there's no bitches like show business where there's just a lot of songs.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of story.
I mean, Hugh Jackman could probably make me really like it. So.
He could do pretty much anything. He could do American Anti-Semitic Psycho.
No, I might not like that one.
Gay man with a wife in Denver.
Yes. It's the musical of my name.
The musical. Yes. Speaking of musicals, the other
Oh,
one
God, you have to really cut out that to. Stuff on the candles.
The next one we'll talk about is Skyfall, which I'm very much looking forward to. I showed my kids all the Bond movies. This summer.
And how did you explain Pussy Galore?
I just kind of let that one go. My kids aren't stupid. Yeah. they know about lady parts. So there's certain things that they.
When I saw the title, like this was the first time I saw it was I was at a friend's house and her dad was a big Bond fan and I saw the title of Octopussy and I thought that was like the dirtiest thing I had ever heard.
Oh, and it's in the trailer. I remember 1983 when I saw the trailer for it. They show the woman and she's like, "Oh, what's that?" She goes, "That's my little Octopussy," and the audience erupts.
Like in shock or laughter?
Laughter. Oh. And that's one of those things that I'm convinced part of the reason things get past censors is because the censors don't have dirty minds.
Yeah.
I don't think they knew what it meant.
I still don't know if I know what it means.
It could be the most hideous thing in the world or the most wonderful thing in the world.
Exactly. But yeah, it's funny because it's like, and that my friend's family was so conservative. I mean, they didn't watch like R-rated movies or anything except, I mean, the dad was a fireman. So, you know, you knew he had like some guy movies and that was the only thing on their shelf that was at all adult. I was like, he has porn. Like, I didn't know it was a Bond movie.
You didn't know it was a Bond movie. You're like so disappointed. You're like, why are they, there's a circus and a clown and eggs and what's going on?
What is this?
Why is this guy flying this jet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think Javier Bardem is going to be a good villain in it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward
to it. You
know,
that's probably why my mom wants to see it. It's not just Daniel Craig. She was a big fan of Eat, Pray, Love. And every time she mentions Skyfall to me, she's like thinking, I don't know if she knows the... Okay, I don't know. I don't know if she knows Javier Bardem is in it. So.
You know, if Eat, Pray, Love was actually a zombie love story...
Eat, Pray,
Love. The other one I'm really looking forward to is Frankenweenie. And actually, I have a little bit of a defense on Tim Burton. What's the thing that everyone always says about Tim Burton now?
That he's weird and sellouts and makes Hot Topic lines.
Well, okay, sure. I've always heard that it, like, all he does is remakes, reboots, blah, 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 and that sort of thing. Frankenweenie, for all intents, even though it is marginally based on a short film he did at Disney back in the 80s, it's an original story.
Yeah.
This is not him remaking Dark Shadows or Planet of the Apes or anything else. It's not even really an adaptation, which the last movie that was just an adaptation, I think, was Big Fish. But for everyone bitching about Tim Burton not being original, not doing his own original stories, blah, 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 that Frankenweenie is this. And it's stop motion animation. I think it's... I'm looking forward to it just simply because, you know, I think it's nice to see Tim Burton do something a little bit different, you know.
I'm looking forward to it because I really do like I love the original short.
Yeah.
And I'm looking... I think the character designs and stuff are really... cute, and I want a Frankenweenie toy, so. I mean, he's really cute. Sparky's really... And I think it'll be... It's one of those things, like, I wish it had been done like this originally, because if there was anything I didn't like about the short, it was Shelley Duvall? Is it Duvall?
Shelley Long. Shelley Long was from Cheers.
Yeah, I never really liked the cast. I mean, other than that, I liked... Daniel Stern and the dog and the boy from it weirded me out that the boy was from Neverending the Story. As a kid, I was like, my universes are not supposed to cross. Like,
I can't handle it.
Yeah, that's Bastian. I don't know what he's doing in this.
Yeah, but I am looking forward to Frankenweenie. Yeah. I love stop motion, so pretty much anything stop motion, I'm already going to give it a little bit of a nod to, simply because I think it's a dying art and I think it needs to be kept alive.
Yeah.
So and God bless Tim Burton for doing that, because he's responsible for some of the big stop motion animations. Him and Aardman. Yeah. You take Aardman and Tim Burton out of the mix and you lose a lot of stop animation.
Yeah.
Stop motion.
It's true. I mean, we can knock Nightmare Before Christmas all we want to, but it's still,
it's
you
a
know.
Beautiful movie.
Yeah, it's a beautiful movie. It's not its fault Hot Topic, you know.
Yeah.
Milked it for all it was worth.
Well, and again, it's Timber. Everyone's it's not like his designs and stuff are derivative of anything but his own design.
Yeah,
it's his style.
Did you ever realize? Because this, I feel really dumb until my sister pointed it out. Because she went to that Tim Burton exhibit in New York.
Yeah,
and she was like, you know, all his female characters have stitches all over them. And I was like, I don't know, not, you know, and I'm listing some of the ones I didn't think did, and then I'm realizing Catwoman. They all did. And then, I never realized Catwoman looked like Sally, who looked like, you know, and that really kind of ruined his Catwoman for me.
Well, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, I think they avoided that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not ubiquitous. It's not everybody.
No.
You know, Ed Wood. That's one of my,
Sweeney
that's
Todd.
Probably one of my favorite Tim Burton movies.
It's a good one. I'm a huge defender of Sweeney Todd, so.
Sweeney Todd's good. I think, it just was such a bizarre Christmas movie.
It was.
You're like, why is this out at Christmas? It's amazing, but it's very awkward.
So. I remember we walked out of it and we were singing the song, the various songs, and it was Christmas, obviously, Christmas. Mm. And Eve Day, and there was a church right next to the theater, and they were like, there were people lining up for their church service, and they were lighting candles, and we were singing, you know, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
Wow. And then they threw crosses and holy water at you.
Pretty much.
Next one on the list is yours.
The Hobbit.
Yeah. Are you looking? I'm trepidatious about this because of the whole three movie garbage.
Well, that definitely. I mean, I've been skeptical of parts of it because I mean, I'm not. You know, Peter Jackson. I think Return of the King is actually a pretty bad adaptation of the book. I mean, I love the Lord of the Rings movies. They're probably some of my favorite movies of all time. But they definitely weakened as he got more influenced by audience reaction. Like, I'll put more Gollum in it, and I'll put more Legolas in it, or Legolas. And so I'm really worried that there's going to be too much in The Hobbit. And I was worried about that when they started, Elijah Wood's coming back, and Cate Blanchett's coming back, and, you know. So I am worried it's going to be overstuffed and overlong. But I'm still really looking forward, because if anything is pure and awesome, it'll be like there and back, the first half of an unexpected journey.
I'll be very curious.
Because to me, you can't run, I mean... It depends how much of, like, he crams into that first movie, you know, but if you were to stay pretty true to the books and you keep, who the hell knows, I don't know, but I'm excited
If they're 2.5 hour movies, all three of them, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
It should be 90 minutes. If you're splitting up into three, you should cram 90 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really excited, the cast, Martin Freeman was my ideal Bilbo when they were casting, you know, rumors were swirling about The Hobbit being made. It was like, oh, they should get Martin Freeman. People were like, no.
You're amazing. You, Jean Valjean and
I know.
Baggins.
Well, you know, it's actually, I still kind of, because I remember posting it on Ain't It Cool News, and I kind of wonder sometimes. But
they're like, that's a brilliant idea, Elizabeth Rapp.
So who knows? But I'm really excited about the cast. In fact, the guy that's like my number one crush, the one that actually trumps popsicle eyes, is in this, but I'm not going to say who it is because...
No, you have to.
No.
Or is it a spoiler?
It's not a spoiler. It's just that he might become like addicted to cocaine and hookers like some of the other guys I've really been enamored with.
Something tells me you're lusting for them. It has less to do with them about being addicted to cocaine and hookers than the availability of cocaine and hookers in Hollywood has. With them getting addicted.
It's like
to
the minute I go, oh, I like that actor, I want to see him become like popular, then they go to the dark side. They don't, you know. Or they become epic.
The universe
failures.
Doesn't hinge on your.
No,
your
it doesn't. I just have like I have bad taste in men. Like one of my number one, like, ooh, up and coming, like my first, I should say. Mm. My first up and coming, I like that guy and I'm gonna pin him on my wall. In a hipster way, nobody will know who he is, was Duke Gray Scott. So there you go. This is what I've done to them over and over again.
They're like, what happened? How did this happen? How did my life spiral out of control? They're like, well, Elizabeth Rapp put a picture of you on her wall.
Well, the other one after that was The guy that played, and he, this was because he was in like,
jeez, you don't even know his name?
I'm trying to illustrate who he is because nobody's going to know him by name. But Yoan Griffith, who was Mr. Fantastic in the Fantastic Four. Well, I saw him in BBC costume dramas like way before, years before then. And I was like, oh, I like him. And yeah.
Did he go hookers and cocaine?
No, I believe he just got married and just kind of...
He just got married. I love how you equate that. You right, ruined no, your life he, by either getting into hookers or cocaine.
No, he just didn't married. Do anything. You know, he ran... There was
he was the Wet Works guy in Horrible Bosses.
Yeah, I know. I was like, when I didn't know he was in that, and I was like, oh, boy. Remember when you were Horatio Hornblower and your whole career was in front of you? No, actually, I heard he got kind of a swelled head from what I understand, and... Kind of, I mean, I think when you run afoul of Ridley Scott, I think that kind of nobody else is really gonna give you a nice part in a movie. Because apparently he threw a tantrum on the set of Black Hawk Down, and I read this in a quote from him, and he was like, you know, I have a fan club and I'm somebody, and then I get to, you know, film in this.
What have
movie.
You done, Ridley?
Yeah,
direct
and he's like,
any movies?
And I show up and I have a really tiny part. And, like, my agent got on the phone, and that's how I got, like, the lines I got. And it was like, ooh. I don't hear Orly Bloom do it now when he falls out of a helicopter. He wasn't like, I'm in Lord of the Rings, so you better increase my role if you know
I'm
what's good
Lord
for your Ridley
bitches.
Scott. Yeah. And it was right after that it was like he stopped being on, like... And I remember he was on some of those lists, like, oh, one to watch. And then it was like he stopped being on all those lists after Black Hawk Down.
There you go.
Yeah.
The last one that we're really... I'm looking forward to... And I actually haven't watched the trailer. I'm not reading anything about this because this is the one that I kind of want to see cold.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Cloud Atlas. Because I'm a huge fan of the Wachowskis.
Yeah.
I have been since... I actually like from Bound. I thought Bound was really good. Even
of course
Speed
you
Racer. As colossal of a failure as that movie was, it was beautiful.
I didn't see
looking.
Speed Racer. I feel bad
it's
about
long.
That.
It's long. It's like 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's way too long.
Yeah.
But I think the Wachowskis are some immensely talented directors. And I'm very curious to see, because I like the fact that there's... I watched that little scene, or the little bit where they did it with Twiker, the director, the writer, and the two of them were talking about... And they just talked very vaguely about it, but I didn't watch the trailer because I kind of like, well, this is interesting. It sounds like it's completely out there, and I kind of want to go in cold and see what I think. But I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Simply to see what they've got for
yeah.
us.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, too. And it was one of those ones that, like, when people were cast and they were trying, like, it had a log line, I was not really on board with it at all. I was just like, this sounds... like a mess. And I actually have watched the trailer, and I'm really excited. I mean, I think it looks like the kind of and I'm sure I'm influenced by the New Yorker article I just read, but it does look like that experimental stuff that you used to get in like the 70s, to where it's like, if it's gonna and I'd like to see something that if it succeeds, it succeeds huge, or if it fails, it fails big, and you go, well, at least somebody tried something.
It fails
huge.
Massively,
yeah.
And but people will still respect it.
Yeah, and I it looks like that kind of movie that there's really going to be no gray area with it. You're not going to walk out going, "It was okay." I mean,
yeah, you're
going
to love it or hate it. It's going to be.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like it's going to be a more out there Tree of Life.
Yeah, or like it reminds me a lot of The Fountain, which I know is kind of one of those movies I liked it. See, there you go. I like that movie a lot.
We'll see. And that's the thing. I mean, I know it's going to be bizarre, but I'm looking, and it's just part of it is with like comparing to The Fountain. I just Aronofsky just sometimes gets overly dense.
Yeah,
I think the Wachowskis are incredibly relatable.
Yeah, and I
directors.
Would have to say that I think it looks warmer. Like, I mean, Aronofsky can be very cold, kind of like Kubrick.
Yeah.
And the Wachowskis have never, even in The Matrix, there's still a lot of warmth and humor and humanity in their stuff.
Yeah,
so
at
the very least, I think you can, like you said, relate to it, you know, feels,
just,
and, you know.
I like the concept of the two of them, instead of taking a, Speed Racer was a property that they did a fantastic job with, but it was not what it needed to be. The last time they did this was the first Matrix, where they kind of get a chance to do what they want and do something different. And I think that we wouldn't have seen this since the first Matrix 13 years ago. So I think that this is the fact that they're like, hey, let's really think outside of the box.
And that
excites me. I think it looks awesome. So, and without having seen anything. You have an honorable mention. Oh, did you have something else you want to say?
Oh, no, I was going to say, if you haven't read the New Yorker article, I know you don't want to read anything about it, but if anyone out there hasn't read it yet, it's definitely worth a read, because I think it's the biggest interview they've ever given. And it's, it was interesting about all their movies, how they were made, and how they did this one. And, I think the other thing that it's going to hook people in, I think what's cool about it for mainstream audiences that supposedly are so scared of everything that's unusual. It's like I've shown the trailer to different people now, and it's like every time that people watch it, go, well, it looks weird, but I'll go see it because of Tom Hanks. Like, it can't be too freaky because Tom Hanks is in it. And I think really, he's like the everyman anchor for it, which I guess is what they wanted. Anyway.
You had an honorable mention.
Yeah. That sounds terrible. Yeah. No, I am excited for Trouble with the Curve, even though
that's crazy, rambling Clint Eastwood.
Well, I am surprised there's not more buzz around it. Like that, regardless of the whole, there is.
Well, because he plays a guy who's kind of losing his mind already.
Yeah. Well, I know, I'm really surprised before this that people weren't talking about the movie, because it was such a big deal that Gran Torino was going to be Eastwood's last movie, and Million Dollar Baby before that. And so I'm really surprised that it's kind of sneaking up on, like, and I knew this was going to happen.
I think it's like a Cher farewell tour, where people are like going, again?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's funny, because I knew this would happen. There was a TV spot, and my dad is like, run, there's a new Eastwood movie coming out. Oh my God. It's like, it seems to, like, the very faithful that'll see him in anything are like, what? Like, they have no idea. And they want to go see him. So I don't, But the fact that it ties in so, I guess, badly with a recent appearance. It makes me sad, because I've been watching a lot of old Rawhide episodes, and I just watched them before I saw the trailer, and it makes me sad to see, like, he's, like, putting on his glasses, and he looks like a little turtle, and, he was so young and sexy, and, it's hard to watch him, like, starting out, and then watching, this creaky old guy that's,
sitting on his porch yelling at chairs.
Yelling at chairs and calling them racist names.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm kind of surprised that somebody hasn't spliced some of that together.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Just Anyways, we gotta go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk DVDs.
Okay.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are now out of the infamous middle segment where we talked about some crazy, crazy stuff. Or as the kids would say, some cray-cray stuff.
Cray-cray.
Stuff like women's fashion and my ability to analyze it uncannily.
Seriously, you need to buy me some clothes. I mean, not buy me, but like pick up some clothes.
You buy your own clothes. I'll just go shopping with you.
All right.
We also talked about box office and Toys in the Attic and... oh, golly, a whole bunch of other things.
Bradley.
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Anyways, but what's coming on now? What's coming up next here, Elizabeth?
Jason Statham, right?
It's the world famous.
Oh, sorry.
See, you're as tired as I am.
It's the world famous DVD roundup.
There we go. Yeehaw. Yes, and with that, it is... who's in the world-famous DVD roundup
today?
Jason Statham.
I can't do my voice raspy enough. Jason Statham.
I can't do it either, and I just always sound like Eliza Doolittle.
Yeah.
Or one of the Monty Python guys. Yeah. Jason Statham.
Jason Statham. Oh, sure, I like him. He's a rough bit of tumble, it is.
he's a tall glass of drink in my body toppy.
Is that, I don't even, that's that what Sean Bean always called himself, a bit of rough, because he was women's bit of rough.
A bit of rough, yeah. A bit of old nice.
Yeah. A bit of the old knockabout.
Wow. I'm like just making up British slang. I'm like, oh, he's an old little case cracker, is he?
A bit of the sausage
that
and
means
beans.
Nothing.
A bit of rough.
A bit of twig and berries. In your coffee.
A tall cup of builder's tea, that one.
Anyways, why is Jason Statham's tall cup of builder's tea in the DVD roundup?
Because he's in Safe.
Yes.
Which I'm really excited for, because Jason Statham is never better than when he's defending a small child.
Yeah. Well, you know what I said is when the Expendables came out, I mean, he's the only one that really has this current crop of just low budget, smaller action movies that he still stars in, and that's, I'm cool with that.
He's like I'd say he's our generation, like Stallone, but he doesn't get enough like big movies, so.
Yeah, he doesn't have the huge movies. He doesn't, I mean, unless they were to make the next Transport film, but
he's making more movies than Gerard Butler.
He's more like our generation or your generation's, like Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, or like Charles Bronson, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
kind of. Well, because like Death Wish, some of those were smaller.
I just watched Death Wish 5 today. It was awful.
Is that the one? I think I've seen
the fashion industry.
That one, because is there a room where he's like fighting a bunch of drug dealers and I don't know.
Yeah, and he throws somebody in acid. Yeah, I mean that's all that stuff happens. Yeah, and it's about the garment district in like Philadelphia. It's weird. I don't get it. It's not like punks anymore. Yeah. So. Anyways, other DVDs to check out. You got the 5-year engagement, which is not good.
I've heard it actually feels like you've sat there for 5 years.
It's a long movie, and it kind of really goes off the rails like a couple times. But there's also the Reanimator Blu-ray. If you haven't seen Reanimator, you can see it in high definition.
Oh.
And there's actually a drinking game out on FSR, Film School Rejects, where you can check it out, which I have, so you can get ready for Halloween.
Oh.
So Reanimator Blu-ray.
You should make a Jason Statham drinking game so I could die of alcohol poisoning.
I should. I'm sure I have one out there. That at least for one. I think I did one for Killer Elite.
Okay, because that'd be a good excuse to watch Killer Elite.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people talked me out of, and I'm kind of, They're not going to do it for Safe, though. No. He's defending a small child in this one.
It'll be awesome. It'll be just 12 straight ounces of awesome.
Yeah. I'm excited because also the Hell on Wheels guy's in it. I've never seen him outside of Hell on Wheels, so.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Other TV.
Random thing. Yeah.
TV stuff, we also have The Office Season 8, Parks and Rec Season 3, Grey's Anatomy Season 8, and Fringe Season 4. Of course, you got all the fall TV series showing up this week, so, or this month. But you can check up and catch up on those. There's also, the stinker is Piranha 3DD.
I thought you said Pariah, and I was like, that was a well-nominated
Piranha
movie.
Piranha, the Portuguese translation. Piranha 3DD, which is a terrible movie. It makes no sense. It logically does not fit together. It is a square peg in its own round hole. It is such a bizarre...
How does it rank against that shark movie?
Oh, Shark Night? It's worse than Shark Night. Shark Night was terrible.
Is Shark Night the one where the guy just randomly throws in the, like, how about I go home and... Do you remember that? I can't... Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Yeah, well, you're going to have to edit this part out because it's, like, X-rated.
We'll talk about that off the air. Anyways, we got to wrap it up because we've got the review wrap-up. We have The Words, which gets a suck. In the Cold Light of Day, which gets a preemptive suck. And Toys in the Attic, which gets a kind of rock.
Yeah.
Next week, we have Finding Nemo in 3D.
Yeah.
And Resident Evil Retribution. And I think that House on the End of the Street. Is that this week? Oh, no, it's the next week. Because that's Judge Dredd the following week. Anyways, we've got about 45 seconds. Elizabeth, tell us where anyone can find you if they want to check out your stuff.
Film.com and then also just on Twitter, /Elizabeth Rapp.
Elizabeth Rapp. That's it?
Yeah.
We've got way more time now. We got about 30 seconds.
Well,
so, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And when we get back, we'll talk about whatever the shark. What shark movie was it? Was it Shark Night 3D?
Which
came
out
like last year? No. Keep going. Keep going.
It's the one where I don't know the name of it. It's from like the 90s, and it has like really bad sharks imposed on like little tiny boats, and it has the totally random dialogue of like they're talking about the shark and then the guy's like, hey, how about I go home and eat you out? Like it's called like you've never seen it.
I've never seen it. You can probably stop it now.
Okay.
I'll just fade out at the end of that one.
One.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Elizabeth Rapp.
You want to do that again?
Oh, okay.
Say the whole line. Let's start over. We'll do it again. Just keep rolling. All keep right. rolling. It's been so long.
It has been so long.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Elizabeth Rapp. Oh, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Should we do it again?
Yeah.
Like the show you just heard? Then head on over to fatguysatthemovies.com to hear more. Fat Guys Network flagship show, Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Oh Snap with Kevin and Meryl. Celluloid Spotlight with Meryl and Hash, plus many more. And if you like any of what you hear, kick us a few bucks using the donation button on the sidebar. Or just leave us an iTunes review. Fat Guys Network is where the ooey-gooey podcasting goodness is at 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.